Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Many companies at the end of the fiscal year have an audit of their financial records. Audits, of course, are done to demonstrate to the owners or the shareholders that the company's records are an accurate reflection of the company's standing. To fail an audit, especially if it's being done by the IRS, can be costly. And if found to be deliberately in violation, it could mean imprisonment. Well, today is the last Sunday of the church year. Next week begins the season of Advent and a beginning of a new church year. Our church uses the three-year lectionary, and that means that our readings have a three-year cycle. And so every 3 years, we get the opportunity to hear this from the 25th chapter of Matthew. In particular, the reading of Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, Jesus talks about his coming in glory with all the heavenly hosts and the separation of humankind into two categories, that of the sheep and the goats. But you know, I've begun to look at this passage a little differently. I've looked at it more as an audit for the church in our day. This teaching has been passed down to us who wait for the anticipation of the second coming so that we understand how the Lord makes his judgment on the last day. If you've been involved in an audit before, you know it's not a fun thing because it shows our shortcomings. But if we look at it as a routine check, by God's grace, we can learn to overcome our shortcomings and grow in uprightness and integrity. This lesson is not about attaining righteousness that will ultimately save us on the last day. If we look at this text as Christians, forgiven in Christ, baptized in the water and the Spirit, it shows how God wants to transform us daily into the image of Christ. Hence, it is an audit of sorts to help us as blessed sheep of Christ to understand God's economy and our place within it. Jesus gives us all that we need to know of his accounting in respect to the last day. This lesson, in the context of the last day, should, however, tell us just how important this audit is for God's sheep, the church. But why an audit, you say? If we talk about God's grace and mercy, why not just include everyone in the kingdom? It is done for the same reason that an audit is done in business, to test the accuracy of what is told to be true. To not deal with appearances, but with what is actually on the record. Our heavenly audit is a challenge of what we have done with what God has entrusted to us. There's a story of a young monk asking an older monk, "Father," he says, "if God is ultimately merciful, how can he deprive anyone of his heavenly kingdom?" The older monk answered, "Why do you keep turning your head from side to side?" The younger monk replied, "Because the sun keeps hitting me right in the eye and it just won't leave me in peace." "Well, then you've answered your own question," laughed the old monk. "God doesn't deprive anyone of his heavenly kingdom. Some simply cannot bear the light any more than you can bear the light of the sun." The heavenly audit forces us to look into the light of Christ and to see our shortcomings. Yes, but so that we might learn and grow in our faith. This little story illustrates what we know to be true. The vision of the Last Judgment is telling us that there is a greater standard than what we can think or what we're even comfortable with. There is an ultimate justice where that which is wrong will be made right. We will all be held accountable. So often we want to make Jesus into something that we want. He is what he was, and he is what he will be. The challenge of Scripture is clear. There are no walls for us to hide behind. According to our heavenly audit, we must love even our enemies. We must reach out to all in loving compassion. Jesus will judge injustice for what it is, and the wrongs will be made right. But let me be really clear here. In Jesus' audit, he's not talking about dealing with abstract ideas such as justice or equality, but food for hungry people, compassion for those who are cut off from the world. There's nothing abstract about clothing a person who needs to be clothed. I know we all feel completely helpless when we're talking about things as great as war and terrorism, climate change, natural disasters, and epidemics. You and I are not seated at the thrones of the world's power. We're just average, everyday people who are trying to deal with all these issues. But this vision in Matthew 25 is dealing with direct acts that touch each person, one person. You see, that's our challenge. How do you measure up in the audit of Jesus? Can you not only receive, but give? And isn't that the challenge of this coming Thanksgiving? Giving thanks to God for our blessings is ultimately important. But the Lord reminds us of all of the importance of sharing those blessings with a world in need. My pastor back home, Pastor Mike Ernst, before entering the ministry, used to tell me, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. I've always wanted to hold on to that. It's not always easy. You see, he wasn't saying that knowledge wasn't important, but he was pointing out what I think Jesus is saying here, that Christians live according to the knowledge that he's given. And he expects faith in action. Can you not only believe, but trust with your whole being, even when the way turns uphill and the struggle becomes hard? Can you dare to risk by attempting to try some of the many opportunities to show your faith and to live as Christ would have us live? We all know the paralysis of action, don't we? When the challenge becomes serving those who are the weakest among us, the least among us. So how do you measure up? What's the capacity of your soul? God has chosen to work in and through us as the body of Christ. Every time we step out of our comfort zone to help someone in need, it is God working in us. And the surprise of Jesus' words today is that by serving the least of these, we are serving him. That's the big surprise. Did you notice that the sheep and the goats in the vision were surprised? Of course. The goats weren't necessarily bad people. You get the feeling in their surprised response that if they had known who they were serving, that would have changed everything and they would have acted appropriately. They couldn't see Jesus, however, in the least of these. Jesus gives his disciples and us that insight. The funny thing is, the sheep are surprised too. They had no idea who they were visiting, feeding, clothing. And isn't it really hard for us to see the King of Glory in the faces of the poor? But God has given us a heart of compassion, Christ's heart of compassion. And having a heart of compassion comes not from knowing the secret of passing the audit. Compassion comes from a heart that has been made new in Christ. It is Christ's compassion that motivated the sheep to help their neighbor so that they did not even see him. Lo and behold, in serving the least, they were serving Christ himself. Jesus reminds us that our greatest failure is our lack of awareness of who we are serving. And possibly we fail to realize what even the smallest effort can do for those who are desperately hungry, homeless, imprisoned. And maybe we've been a little too quick to judge them for their situation instead of investing ourselves and our resources to change their situation. In God's economy, we are doing great things by doing little things, even giving a cold cup of water to a believer. Furthermore, Jesus' vision doesn't require us to gain the whole world for him, but to reach someone. Can we reach someone? What God expects from us is a faithful response to those in need and what he has given us to offer. That's God working in us, isn't it? Our gospel reads, "I was a stranger, and you welcomed me." So simple, isn't it? There's a commercial for a national restaurant that advertises this slogan: "When you are here, you are family." I love that slogan. That's the spirit of what the sheep were doing. And how many times have we been guilty of not even seeing the stranger? Our challenge is not only to see them, but to bring them into the family. I have two sisters, older sisters, the bane of my existence when I was a child. It's hard being the only boy in the family with two older sisters. And this is your cue to start playing your violins and shedding crocodile tears for me. Things did improve as I got older. And there was, I'll admit, one thing I thought they did right. When Marty and I were engaged to be married, my sister Linda came up to Marty and said, "Marty, whatever happens between you and Vernon," they had such confidence in me, "whatever happens between you and Vernon, you will always be our sister." Marty still talks about that and the great acceptance she felt from our family. Isn't that our challenge? To see Jesus in others and to gather them into the family? Our faith challenges us to expand our comfort zones. After all, the fringe will not be those that we usually associate with, right? We like those people that are most like us. We're not comfortable with the stranger. Even as little children, we're told strangers mean danger. Stay away. But we must find ways to reach those in need in our world. There's this wonderful story that reminds us of our task of reaching out to the needy. There was a very hungry man walking down the street in a village in medieval Turkey. He had only a piece of bread in his hand. And he came to a restaurant where meatballs were being cooked on the grill. Those meatballs were so near to him, and the smell was so delicious. The man held out his piece of bread over the meat to capture some of the smell. As he started to eat the bread, the angry restaurant owner seized him and took him to see a judge. The owner protested, "This man was stealing the smell of my meat without asking for permission. I want you to make him pay me for it." The judge thought for a moment, and then he held up his purse in front of the owner and shook it. "What are you doing that for?" asked his accuser. The judge replied, "I am paying you. The sound of the money is fair payment for the smell of the food." This story challenges me to deal with the least in substance and reality. If there's anything more clear in Jesus' words, we must make sure that our care is expressed in ways that are tangible. That is the beginning of changed lives, both for the giver and for the receiver. But please know this, it will cost. Many of us can identify with the little boy who was given 2 quarters, one to buy candy and the other to put in the church's offering. He ran down the street in enthusiasm and, not really paying attention, he lost a quarter and then watched it roll down into the drain. He was heard to say, "Well, Lord, there goes your quarter." Serving the least was Jesus' priority, and it is his priority for us, his sheep. It is rarely the convenient or easy thing to help the least, the last, the lost. It will cost us in time, money, and worry. Do you feel like Jesus is pushing you to the edge of society? I hope so. That's a good thing. We see this image of Jesus over and over again in the Gospels as one who receives children, responds to the outcasts, the leper, the tax collector, the foreigner, and the blind. Jesus didn't turn them away, but found specific ways to care for them. The heavenly audit is demanding the same of us. But here's the beauty in all this. We cannot accomplish this on our own, but God can accomplish it through us. Not necessarily with awesome signs and wonders or great acts of miracles, miraculous healings, but with compassionate, tangible care. Not necessarily in great deeds in which the world will stand up and take note, but in small, small ways that tell the needy that he or she has found a home, a family, and a God who lives and moves and in whom we have our being. So let us welcome that heavenly audit. Through it, we will grow in our Christian walk as Jesus works in us and through us by his Spirit. And most glorious of all, through his compassionate heart working through us, our faithful response to him, providing tangible help for the needy, he just may convert a few goats into sheep along the way. And my friends, that is worth every minute of God's heavenly audit. Don't you agree? With God's help, let it be. Amen.